Speak a word to me, a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire. A fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire. Let's read from the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, and I want to read it beginning at verse 20. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. The people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. Let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces. And lay it on wood and put no fire under. I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well. Now, you study on, you find out that the prophets of Baal got up and did their thing and called upon Baal and cut themselves with lancets and broke down the altar. And then we come down to verse 36. And it comes to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all of these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Amen. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Can we look to the Lord in prayer tonight? Father, I thank you once again for the opportunity to be in your house. I thank you, Lord, for your presence. I thank you for everyone that is here tonight. I thank you, God, that you have a word for us, Lord. I thank you that it will change our hearts, change our lives, Lord. Father, we yield ourselves to you. Take control of our lives tonight, Lord. Make us an oracle. Flow through us with your word, with your power, with your anointing, Lord. And let every yoke be destroyed. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. In our text tonight that I read to you, Elijah comes on the scene in Israel's history when the nation was at an all-time low. King after king had taken Israel deeper and deeper into spiritual adultery, idol worship and rebellion. And finally, the scripture says that Ahab was worse than all the kings that were before him. He did more to destroy the spiritual fabric of the nation of Israel than any of his predecessors, even to the establishing of Baal worship in the temple of God. If that wasn't enough, he married a witch who began to seduce and control the nation of Israel by the spirit of witchcraft. Without a doubt, it was a very dark time in Israel's history. But into the darkness came a blazing light and a beacon of truth and unwavering devotion to God. Elijah, the man of God, comes on the scene by divine directions from God. He challenges the dark forces that have seduced and deceived and captivated Israel and turned their hearts away from God. Standing on the mountain, facing off with a backslidden king, a false religious order, and a nation that had accepted polluted religion that mixed the worship of Baal with the worship of God, Elijah knew the true fire of God was the only thing that could destroy that polluted, poisonous mixture of religion and false worship and turn the nation back to God. And I came here just to preach and not just to give you a message, but to deliver a prophetic warning that we as a nation, America, the United States of America, are standing in a place very much like the nation of Israel was. As a nation, we have been seduced and deceived and deluded, and we have slid into a spiritual stupor and spiritual apostasy. We have lost our God consciousness in this country. There's no need to even speak of a moral conscience, because as a rule in America, we don't even know what morals are anymore. In America today, it seems that we have adopted the idea that morality means whatever the majority is doing. I came to ask a question tonight. When did it happen that white became black, and black became white, and evil became good, and bitter became sweet? When did it happen that retaining your virginity until marriage became a bad thing and something to be ashamed of? When did it happen that being a homosexual or a lesbian was considered normal, and marriage between a man and a woman became not chic, old-fashioned, and weird? When did it happen that adultery and fornication and social drinking and wife-swapping in the church became acceptable? When did it happen that abortion became so widely, easily accepted that it now has a name called pro-choice? Yeah. When did it happen that we as the church became more concerned about being politically correct than being biblically correct? Yeah. When did it happen? Yeah. When did it happen that we became more concerned about offending the prospective seeker than grieving the Spirit of Almighty God? The Bible says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. My friend, that's the spirit of this age, and that's the times we live in. And if there ever was a time that the church and you and I as individuals needed a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, it's today. If there ever was a time when we needed the power of God in our lives, when we needed the anointing of God in our lives, when we need the ability to rebuke the devil and be able to look sin in the face and call sin, sin, it's today. We need the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost like never before. Talk about what our kids are facing in the schools today. It's never been like this before. We've never faced what we've faced in this nation before. We've never been looking at the spirit of wickedness like we see in this nation today. We've never seen the enemy raising up on every side. It's in your face. It's not. And you know, the problem is, a lot of times, is we're afraid to speak from the pulpit and rebuke sin, and so sin goes unrebuked. In other words, the devil can say anything he wants, do anything he wants, talk any way he wants, but then many pulpits won't deliver a word that will deliver a person. You can't get delivered from sin until you know you're a sinner. Grace isn't grace until you know you're bound. Grace isn't grace until you know you're lost. Salvation isn't salvation until you know you need a Savior. And you don't need a Savior or know you need a Savior until somebody tells you that you have sinned and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As a church, we have to ask ourselves hard questions. Who are we really serving? Who are we trying to please? Does holiness still mean separation from the world? Does holiness still mean striving to live a life above sin? Do we go to church really to worship God and worship a holy God and give our lives to Him? Or is it just keeping up appearances and going through the motions? My friend, there's only one hope for America and the church in this hour, and that is revival. I'm telling you what we need in America is we need a revival. We need an old-fashioned, heaven-sent, sin-killing, devil-chasing. We need a revival that will revive the saints, that will bring holiness back into the house of God. I'm not really concerned about how high you jump. I want to see how you walk when your feet hit the ground. I want to see how you live every day. I want to see this salvation worked out in your life. I want to see this Holy Ghost walking through your feet and touching through your hands. I want to see the reality of the kingdom of God in you. There was a time when the church and you and I as individuals needed a fresh baptism of the fire of God. It's today. The prayer of the church and resounding cry from the church must be, Lord, send the fire. Send the fire. The only thing that can turn the tide of lukewarmness, indifference, hypocrisy, and spiritual idolatry in this nation is a fresh baptism of fire.
Oh God.
We need the fire of God. As much as Elijah needed it on Mount Carmel, we need the fire of God. Do you know that if Elijah did not have fire from heaven, he would die on that mountain? Because he had just squared off with them and confronted the false prophets and mocked them and ridiculed them and criticized them for not being able to produce fire. But I'm telling you, if the man of God did not have fire, he would have died on that mountain. And I'm telling you, if the church does not have fire, we're going to die. If we don't have a manifestation of the fire of God and the power of God, we're not going to make it. The church and Christianity is always one generation away from extinction. One generation away from extinction. It's our job to pass on to the next generation. It's our job to pass on to them a testimony and to pass on them as an experience. That's why I'm glad for what my grandma had. That's why I'm glad for the old time religion. I'm glad because they passed me down something. I'm glad because the church I was raised in, we had some fire. They ran the aisles. They jumped the pews. The glory of God was in the house. They shouted their hair down. There was unidentified flying objects in the house. And I used to laugh at them. I used to make fun of them when they ran and shouted and hooped and hollered. But I didn't know something was getting a hold of me. I didn't know that the fire was getting into the fabric of my being. I didn't know that one day that same fire would burn in my soul and burn in my bones. We've got to leave a testimony to the next generation that there's a God and He still answers by fire. Hallelujah. John said, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh. Thank God for the mightier one. The latchets of whose shoes I'm unworthy to unloose. He, who's he? Jesus. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And with fire. Did your Holy Ghost come with fire? I don't know about you. My Holy Ghost came with fire. It's about 4 o'clock in the morning, man. 4 o'clock in the morning. I've been to youth camp. I laid in the floor. I sought God. People around me getting the Holy Ghost, young people all around me speaking in tongues. Out down there laying in the floor, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. I said, Jesus, 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 thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. I was, they said, hang on, turn loose, let it go. Remember that one guy one time. They got a hold of him and they were pulling on him. They were pulling on him, you know. And they said, and they got to talking. They said, that time. They said, that's it, you got it. Your brother wanted to say they were trying. They were choking him because they had a hold of his tie. I was praying, seeking God, 4 o'clock in the morning in my house, and all of a sudden the power of God hit me, and when it hit me at the top of my head, and went down through my body, it went through every fiber of my being, it shot out my fingers, it felt like lightning shooting out my fingertips, and I'm telling you, that same Holy Ghost has never left me. I thank God that this baptism is a baptism of fire. When he comes, John says he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And I want to tell you something. When he came on the day of Pentecost, he had to come with fire. How do you know? Why did he have to come with fire? Because if he hadn't come with fire, he would have been an imposter. The Bible says they were all in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. He had to come with fire, or he would have been an imposter, because he said when he has come, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. If we've ever needed it, we need it today. We need a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Come on, somebody say, send the fire, Lord. Jesus commanded them. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 4, he said, don't depart from Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Wait for the promise of the Father. For John truly baptized with water under repentance, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now, hence. Then he goes in verse 8 and he says this. But ye shall receive power. Everybody say power.
Power.
Say it again. Say power.
Power.
I just like the way that sounds.
Yes.
Power.
Power.
Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Yeah.
And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
Come on.
When the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, that was not his introduction into the world, by the way. The Holy Ghost has always been here.
Yeah.
But that's when he stepped into his office.
Yes.
Ooh, hallelujah. Shabbahiah.
Yeah.
But when he came on the day of Pentecost, he introduced himself. He came as a violent rushing wind. And he came as tongues of fire. And I came to tell you tonight that heaven's wind has never stopped blowing. And heaven's flame has never burned out. But we as the church need a fresh baptism of fire. Oh, yes. We need a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. How long has it been since you felt the wind of God blowing on you? How long has it been since you felt the fire of God touching you and burning in you? Jeremiah said his word was like fire shut up in my bones. The Bible said our God is a consuming fire. And then the Bible said in Hebrews 1:7, he makes his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. I'm telling you, we serve a God, and our God is a flame of fire. He's a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. And if we have a connection with God, and if we have a relationship with God, and if we have a communion with God, that we're going to have a fire, something of his nature and something of his character is going to be transferred to us, and we're going to walk like God. We're going to think like God. We're going to talk like God. We're going to manifest God. We're going to manifest the power and the glory of God. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Our God is a fire. The Bible says He is. I didn't just say that. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. God does not just want to touch you. This is a problem a lot of times in our churches. We got people that want to get touched and they want to get blessed. And they want to put restraints on God. They want God to touch them and bless them. But God doesn't just want to touch you and bless you. God wants to possess you. See, we know that there are people in the world and people that get devil-possessed. But I want to tell you, there's some people that are Holy Ghost-possessed, too. Woo-hoo. I want to tell you, there's some people that are full of the Holy Ghost. I know some people that are full of the devil. But I also know some people that are full of the Holy Ghost. He said, you receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Our God is a consuming fire. Anything that is connected to God has to do with fire. God is a fire. He is a consuming fire. He's love on fire. Oh, yeah. He's mercy on fire. He's grace on fire. He's compassion on fire. He's power on fire. God is a fire. And if you get close to God, you're going to catch on fire. Let me tell you something. When you get full of the Holy Ghost, you're carrying something. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you get full of the Holy Ghost, you're carrying something. I'm telling you, the Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I believe in God, but I don't believe just in a God that sits on the throne 20,000, 20 million light years away. I believe in a God who sits on the throne in my heart. I believe in a Jesus that walks in my feet. I believe in a Jesus that looks through my eyes. I believe in a Jesus that touches through my hands. I believe I've got a power from on high that lives on the inside of me. I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe in Jesus' name I can cast out devils. I believe I can lay my hands on the sick and they'll recover. I believe that I can break chains of bondages and fetters and habits and addictions. I believe that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. That I've been raised up and made to sit together with Him in a heavenly place. I believe He's given me power and authority over all the works of the devil. I believe greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. I believe that I reign in life as a king by one Jesus Christ. I believe it. I believe it. I believe I'm infected. I carry the germ. I carry the Holy Ghost virus. I believe you can get healed by getting close to me. Shabbat. I believe it. I believe it. I'm grateful tonight for a present help in every time of need. I'm grateful tonight that this God lives inside of me. And everything I said about me, I said for you. Because if you're a child of God, you're a son and a daughter of God. He lives in you. He walks in you. He talks in you. He reigns in us. He's raised us up to sit together with Him. To rule with Him. In a position of authority and power. Over all the works of the devil. You receive power. When the Holy Ghost has come upon us. When the Holy Ghost came to me, I didn't just get tongues. I got power. But I speak in tongues. He said, When you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive power. And the Bible says when the Spirit came upon them, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Can I tell you something? When I speak in tongues, the devil gets nervous. Now, when you speak in tongues, the devil gets nervous. That's why the devil fights tongues so much. That's why the devil fights the Holy Ghost and tongues so much. Because tongues gives us the ability to build up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When I pray in the Holy Ghost, I build myself up. When I pray in the Holy Ghost, I generate power. Yeah. When I pray in the Holy Ghost, I charge my spiritual battery. When I pray in the Holy Ghost, I'm building up spiritual resources. Building up yourself. When I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, I'm working out. Hallelujah. Now you may not be able to tell it by looking at me right now, but I used to work out. I had big arms. I did, yeah. I used to work out. I still have those same muscles. As a matter of fact, I got the same muscles Mr. America has right now. They're just a little smaller. Yeah. When I pray in the Holy Ghost, I build myself up. I exercise myself. I work out. Oh, yeah. Shia. See, I'm not a very big person physically. But what you see is not all of me. There's more to me than what you see. Smith Wigglesworth said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, there's more to me than what you see. Now tell your neighbor, I'm getting stronger. Tell them, come on. Because I'm working out. I'm using my spiritual resources. Hallelujah. When I pray in the Holy Ghost, I don't understand a word I'm saying. But heaven knows everything I'm saying. Hallelujah. Sometimes I'll be praying, and I'll be praying about some things. And all of a sudden, I get the understanding that the devil is listening to me. And I don't like him listening in sometimes to what I'm saying. So I just shift over into another gear. I just shift over into the Holy Ghost and I start praying in tongues. And when I start praying in tongues, I go into stealth mode. When I start praying in tongues, I go off his radar. When you start praying in tongues, you go off the devil's radar. When you're praying in English and you're saying, oh God, this mountain, I don't know what I'm going to do about it. Oh God, this person, they're making me miserable, Lord. Oh God, every time they come around me, they sap my victory. And the devil's tracking you. He's just tracking you. He goes, I know right where they're at. I know right where they're at. But all of a sudden, you just recognize, man, I got to get out of this. There's a higher place than this. There's something better than this. And all of a sudden, you shift into the Holy Ghost. And you start praying in the Holy Ghost. And the devil starts scratching his head. And he says, where did they go? I saw them. I know I was there. I was tracking them. But all of a sudden, they're gone. What happened? You just shifted into stealth mode. You just shifted into the spirit. You just shifted into the spirit realm. Since you prayed in the Holy Ghost? How long has it been since you prayed in tongues? You say, well, I spoke in tongues when I got the Holy Ghost, but I haven't spoken tongues since. My friend, you need a fresh the Holy Ghost in fire. You said, I spoke in tongues last month. Friend, you need a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. You said, I spoke in tongues last week. You need a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. You said, I spoke in tongues this morning. Woo! You need a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. You need to pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Sing in the Holy Ghost all the time.
Come on.
Can't go a day without praying in the Spirit. Got to build yourself up. Keep yourself in the holy faith. Building yourself up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Come on, lift your hands and bless Him in this house.
Oh, God, we love you. Oh, God, we praise you.
Lord, God, I thank you for a fresh baptism of fire. Lord, we understand, God, we've got to have fire. We've got to have your anointing, God. We've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we need a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost. He will not only give you boldness and power to witness, He will give you power to cast out devils. He'll give you power to break yokes and set captives free. He'll give you power to lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. Amen. Jesus said it this way, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. Hallelujah. Who is he talking to? Somebody say, he's talking to me. When he says you, you is me. You is you. Say, you is me. It may not be good grammar, but it's a fact. When Jesus said, I give unto you, he said, I give unto you, and you is me. You've got to start personalizing the Bible. You understand what I'm saying? If you don't personalize the Word of God, it's not going to do anything for you. It's not going to mean anything to you. When it says, by His stripes ye were healed, ye is me. When He said, He took my infirmities and He bare my sicknesses, my is me. When He said, He was wounded for our transgression, that's me. When He says, His bruise for our iniquities, that's me. When He said, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, that's me. And with His stripes, we are healed. That's me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've got to start personalizing the Word of God. Behold, I give unto you power. My friend, if He gave unto you power, then the devil's in trouble. If He gave unto you power, the devil's in trouble. And I don't mean just when you get to church. I mean He's in trouble when you walk out the door. He's in trouble when you get to the job. He's in trouble when you get to the school. He's in trouble when you get to your house. Because you're going to take Jesus with you everywhere you go. And because you have power.
Oh God, I pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, I feel something in this house. I feel it, I feel it, I feel it. I feel the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, everybody say the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
He gives us power to manifest the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you.
Amen.
Who's you?
Me.
That's right. The kingdom of God is within me.
Yeah.
I read these scriptures a million times. And it didn't do anything for me until I recognized it was me He was talking to.
Amen.
When He said He raised me up together with Him.
Yes.
And made me sit together with Him in heavenly places. I realized I took a trip and didn't know it. I realized I had made a trip and I didn't even recognize it. But I realized He had raised me up and set me up in a heavenly place. And given me a position of authority and dominion that I didn't know I had. But when I started personalizing the Word of God And when I realized he was talking to me, everything changed. When I realized greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, everything changed. Because greater is he that's in you than cancer. Greater is he that's in you than sugar diabetes. Greater is he that's in you than pornography, than addictions, than bondages, than habits, than alcoholism. Greater is he that's in you than homosexuality or lesbianism. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. When I saw he was talking to me, it changed my life. I'm anointed. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm anointed. Now look at your other neighbor and say, I'm anointed. Say, my hands are anointed. Say, my eyes are anointed. See, they say, I take these anointed hands, I lay them on sick people, and they get well. Say, I'm a believer. I believe what God said. He was talking to me. He said I could do it. I can do it. He said he would do it. He'll do it. I believe what he said. I am who he says I am. I have what he said I have. He is who he said he is. I can do what he said I can do. He'll do what he said he'll do. Give him a shout. This didn't go nothing like what I my notes are to come, but it's okay. Everything changes when that word becomes personal. I've been in church all my life. I haven't been in Christ all my life, but I was raised in church. I didn't have a relationship with God all my life, but I never left the church. There are people in church that think they're saved because they're in church. Church didn't save you. It's a relationship with Jesus that saves you. But when the Word of God became personal to me, and I began to realize God was really talking to me, everything changed. When I realized, he said, you have an unction from the Holy One. You have received an anointing. And then when I read the scripture that said, the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in me and quickens my mortal body by his Spirit that dwells in me. When I realize that resurrection life is not just when I die, but resurrection life is in me now. Resurrection life is in you now. When I realized that the power of God resides in me and you, for your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Everything changed. I don't think like I used to think. I know God wants you healed. Number one, I know God wants you healed. Say, well, I haven't been living like I should be living. Well, you need to get that straightened out, but I know God wants you healed. Say, well, I've been living for God. Well, then you can get it right tonight. But I know God wants you healed. You say, well, stuff has happened in my life and I'm in a shape like I am right now because of things that I did that I shouldn't have done and bad choices I made. I understand, but I know God wants you healed. I know that. I don't doubt that. I know that. How do I know that? Because he already did it 2,000 years ago. And he didn't put any stipulations on it when he did it. And all that came to him were healed. He never turned one person away. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
If he never turned one person away then, he'll not turn one person away now.
Amen.
If he never turned one person away because of sin in their life, he won't turn away a person today because of sin in their life. Does he want you to get it right? Absolutely. But he wants you well. He said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Abundant life is in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, abundant life is in the Holy Ghost. If we ever needed a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, it's today. Would you lift your hands one more time tonight and just bless the Lord in this house? Come on, one more time. Just lift your hands. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done already. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Thank you for the Word of God. Your Word is quick. It's powerful. Oh, I thank you. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your anointing. I thank you for the Holy Ghost. We're getting ready to shift in just a second. Smith Wigglesworth was a man known as the Apostle of Faith. Some argue that he only raised 14 people from the dead. Others say, no, 19. I don't know if it was 19 or 14. If it wasn't 19, and if it was only 14... I still say, I think he's got something worth listening to. He said, God wants to flow through you with measureless power of divine utterance and grace till your whole body is a flame of fire. He said, God intends each soul touched by Pentecost to be a live wire. He said there is a place for us in God where we won't be satisfied with small things. We won't have any satisfaction till the fire falls. I gotta say it one more time. The New Testament church began in a baptism of fire. Everyone that was initiated into that New Testament church came through the fire of the Holy Ghost. And I believe tonight he is still baptizing with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Oh, hallelujah. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And when the fire falls, the church will get right. The devil will be cast out. The sick will be healed. The bound will be delivered. And there will be a harvest of souls. Hallelujah. Come on and give God a hand clap. Give him a hand clap. Hallelujah. 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 Listen, if you're ready for God, set you on fire. Come on, stand to your feet today. Please stand with me. I'll tell you what, I'm so excited about being here tonight. Being a part of what God is doing in this church, I feel like God just allowed us to run alongside and plug in for a minute to what God is doing. God is raising up an army of people in this church.
Come on, brother.
An army of people that are not afraid of the devil.
Absolutely.
An army of people that are in love with Jesus and at war with sin. An army of people that care about the world and care about the people that are around them. And if you want God to set you on fire, if you want God to use you, if you want God to flow through your hands to heal the sick, to deliver the captives, to set them free, to break yokes and bondages, you want God to anoint you with fresh oil, fresh fire, You want God to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. You never spoke in other tongues. You never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The evidence of speaking in other tongues is the Spirit gives the utterance. And you need the Holy Ghost tonight. You need the power of God in your life.
Come on.
See, I want God to use me. I want God to anoint me. I want His power in my life. I want to be a part of that army. I want to be one that God flows through. I like that old song said that God's got an army marching through the land. Yep. Deliverance is their song and there's healing in their hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many believe that? How many wants to be a part of that army? I know you do. I mean, if you're ready for God to anoint you and you're ready for a fresh, fresh baptism of fire, I want you to come. Come on, move as quickly as you can. Feel the front of this as best you can. Feel it as best you can. Come, I want tell God, I want the fire of God. I want a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. If you never spoke in other tongues, you never received this baptism, tonight is your night. This is your time. This is your opportunity to plug into the power. Plug into the power. Plug into the anointing. That Holy Ghost baptism. Baptizer. Jesus is the baptizer. I'm not the baptizer. John said He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He will give you power to overcome the devil. He will give you power to be a witness. He will give you power to cast out the devil. He will give you power to break yokes and chains and bondages and set captives free. Come on, just lift your hands. Come on, just lift your hands. Lift your hands and tell Him you want a fresh baptism of fire. Tell Him you want a fresh baptism of the fire of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost! God, I release Your anointing right now, God, for a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire. Let the fire of God fall. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost fall. Let the fire of God fall. God, set us on fire. Set us on fire, God. Make us a threat to the devil. Make us a threat to hell. Make us a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Make us a threat to sickness and disease. Make us a threat to infirmity. Make us a threat to habits and addictions and bondages. Make us a threat, Lord God, to divorce. Make us a threat to homosexuality. Make us a threat to lesbianism. Make us a threat to hell, God, and the fire of the Holy Ghost. I want your fire, Lord! I want your fire, God! Thank you, Lord, for the anointing. Thank you for the anointing, Lord. Thank you for the anointing. Come on, man of God, Pastor. Come on, with me, Pastor. We're going to pray for this people. We're going to release. We're going to release the anointing of God. In the name of Jesus. Father, first of all, as a servant of God, we take authority over every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, every disorder. I speak to the spirit of infirmity. I call you by name, you foul, tormenting spirit of infirmity. Attack God's people. We adjure you in the name of Jesus. Loose your hold on their bodies. Loose your hold on their minds. Loose your hold on them in the name of Jesus. Jesus. I command you, go from them now in Jesus' name. The Lord, we release your healing virtue now in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, be made whole. Oh, be healed in Jesus' name. Receive your healing in Jesus' name. You shall receive the Lord with the prayer. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Hakala Shabbat. Thank you.